You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The initiation process for fair pay agreements kicks off today for supermarkets, hospitality and bus drivers. The bargaining process is initiated by unions who must present MB with evidence that either 10% or the 1,000 workers who would be covered by the FPA support an application, or that there is public interest in establishing an FPA because of low wages, lack of wage progression and little bargaining power. Negotiations will then commence between unions and employer associations, drafting an agreement which employees and employers vote on. The introduction of FPAs represents the biggest shake-up in employment relations since changes in 1991, individualized employment agreements and knee-capped unions. FPAs have become a partisan issue, with National promising to repeal the legislation if elected to government next year. Employer associations have also opposed the policy, with Business NZ rejecting the government's offer to be a default bargaining party and offering legal support to employers who are, quote, caught up in a fair pay claim. I spoke to Narissa Harding, a supermarket worker and organiser with the Council of Trade Unions, about what FPAs mean for supermarket workers.
An FPA is an agreement between the government and industries to create the standard, which will be the foundation of all of the crucial work that gets towards making working in the industry fair and safe for everyone that is doing the work for it.
How does individual bargaining affect workers compared to collective bargaining? Like, what prospects do workers have to obtain better wages, better working conditions under this individualized system that we have right now versus under the FPA?
The FPA will be the foundation that other individual and collective agreements can be built on, so that even individual agreements will have a bottom line.
What sorts of things are supermarket workers bargaining for in these negotiations?
We are bargaining for higher wages so that we can afford the cost of inflation in all aspects, and also more health and safety for all of our workers so that we can do our jobs effectively and feel appreciated by the government and our country.
You're a supermarket worker yourself. What would an FPA mean for you personally?
An FPA for me means that, as well as me, but also everyone that works with me and everyone that does the same job as me in all the companies across this country, it means that we're all going to get a better living environment in general. And for me personally, it means that my kids won't have to have this fight. They will be able to go into work, feel appreciated by their employers, not have to struggle because wages have gone up, and physically they can take the necessary steps towards their best health.
You mentioned inflation earlier and rising living costs. How have rising costs been affecting supermarket workers?
We really struggle to keep up with inflation. For me personally, the living wages has really taken a toll on my financial status. And as a young person, trying to live independently while working and some people even studying at the same time, it makes it really hard when everything that you're trying to pay for is at absurd prices.
There's kind of this image that supermarket work is sort of a part-time job that you do in high school, but some people do support families on a supermarket worker's wage, don't they?
Yes, absolutely. We have many mothers and fathers working for us. And I don't consider working in a supermarket as a part-time high school job, because you can make a real career out of it. Like, there are many levels and there is always opportunities to move up the ranks.
And one thing that FPA agreements are supposed to address is a lack of wage progression, right?
Yep, absolutely. as a supermarket worker, we've been sitting above minimum wage for years now, and it's gotten to the point where the living wage and the minimum wage are so far apart that it's really starting to affect people's livelihood. And a lot of people working in supermarkets are moving out of supermarkets because they just can't afford to keep working there, especially like for single parents with a fair amount of kids. If you're on a supermarket wage and you're only getting paid just above minimum, you're struggling to provide for your family. And people end up getting like other jobs like Uber and stuff like that, and it's just running them down. And that's what's driving the turnover rate as well.
You mentioned that people are leaving the industry. One thing that the COVID lockdown showed us, though, is that supermarket workers are essential workers. So it seems like there's a bit of a crisis fermenting if this essential industry doesn't actually have people to staff it because the working conditions are so poor.
I think one of the things that also affects our turnover rate highly is the fact that the people that are leaving are leaving behind the people that are still there. And those people that are still there are having to cover shifts and work overtime to try and keep this industry going and these companies going. And the FPA, the people that are covering the shifts, are going to be motivated to do that, to keep working, to make a decent amount of money. And then it's going to motivate people to also come into the industry and start working so that we can stop that turnover rate. Because when you work in a supermarket, when you feel unappreciated by your employer or the people that are governing the industry, it's really hard to get the right amount of staff.
Supermarkets received windfall profits over lockdown, and the Commerce Commission's investigation showed the New Zealand supermarket duopoly makes far more profits than supermarkets overseas do. Have supermarket workers seen any of these record profits?
Not really. It's not something that is advertised to the employees. In a sense, it is very hard for us to see the profits that these companies make, especially when it is in the billions. And we're here trying our best to make livable wages.
National have promised to repeal FPAs if they get into government, saying that they allow a tiny fraction of a sector to dictate terms for the majority. What do you make of this criticism?
I think that FPAs are going to benefit everyone, because once you've set a standard, anyone, even in small businesses' case, can appeal to that standard and get all of these benefits that come along with it. You just have to push. You have to fight. You have to be motivated to put yourself in a place where you're willing to work for these things. Like, the FPA is not something that's just happened overnight. We've been working towards this for years. And any small businesses that feel like they're going to be left out or undercut, they can join us. We just need to figure out the best process to get them in there as well.
If what the union is bargaining for is higher wages, better working conditions, more fairness in the industry, things like that, what reason do employees have to reject that proposal? Because it seems like something that's pretty good for them, you know?
I would say that there is very few valid actual reasons that you would reject this FPA agreement. And I think the people that choose to go against it are the ones that are looking out for themselves rather than the people that work for them, because the people that work for you are the ones that are making your money. And if they're not being treated fairly, they're going to leave. And that's what implies back to the turnover rates of supermarkets. You know, if we end up with all of this good stuff and our employer decides, yes, this is good, we're going to be more inclined to stay and work and be more loyal to these companies that are looking after us.
That was Nerissa Harding from the Council of Trade Unions talking about what FBAs mean for supermarket workers.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.